Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Martin Zender, your host of the Revelation Series. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I did tell you, yes, I did, that I was going to give you Mr. Knox's opinion of the 7,000-year plan of God, and I am, but not today. Let me just tell you this. He likes it. He likes it. It's very satisfying to him. I'm going to give you a quote from Concordant Studies in the book of Daniel. I'm just not going to do that today because something else has come up that requires my attention, and it requires it now. Some of you are being disturbed by teaching out there by our friend Clyde Pilkington, and I need to address this issue. It may take a few shows because this is important. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. As you know, I love Clyde. He's a friend of mine. I'm a friend of Clyde's. This has nothing to do with friendship whatsoever. It has to do with getting scripture right and understanding the era that we're in and giving us peace and understanding what Paul is saying, understanding what the scriptures are saying. If it's not a matter of importance, I wouldn't mess with this. I wouldn't interrupt a series within a series to now embark upon a series within a series within a series. I wouldn't do it, but I have to do it. I have to do it because this is for your teaching. This is for your peace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, Paul says, the era is limited. The era is limited. That is, it's being wrapped up. It's being shoved together, compressed, and being completed. Our friend Clyde says that this era is not limited. It's limitless. In fact, he has an article called The Era is Limitless. The opposite of what Paul says. Of course, Clyde adds a word there, the present era. He thinks that what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7 belongs in the past because it was a previous administration. Clyde believes that only half of Paul's letters are for us today. That's right. The early letters belong to an early body of Christ that belonged essentially to Israel. If you didn't know this, I'm telling you something new. Sorry, but this, of course, informs Clyde's ideas about the present era. And some of you, again, are being confused about it. I dealt with this back when I was in Brazil, probably 3 years ago. I dealt with this in print. And you can go ahead and read this ahead of time on your own. Volume 4, Issue 19 of the ZWTF. Go to my website, martinzender.com. Go to the ZWTF archives on the left and go to Volume 419. It's a special edition. It's called The Present Era. This is important. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be upset. I don't want you to be misguided or alarmed about the nature of the era we're in. We're in the same era now of which Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. That's as simple as it is. And there are certain characteristics of this era that remains true from Paul's time until now. And we have a prior expectation in Christ, and we are to live in expectation. But our friend Clyde, this is a quote, says that you are wasting your time. In fact, in the article that recently appeared, excerpts of which recently appeared in his daily goodies, he says this in his article titled The Current Era. Don't waste your time. This is a quote from Clyde. Don't waste your time imagining that you will be raptured, i.e. delivered away from your divine training ground. It will be a costly mistake. So Clyde believes that we're wasting our time imagining that we will be delivered from our divine training ground. And yet I'm going to show you verses where Paul engages us with our deliverance. We're not to ignore life down here. No one's saying that. But we are to anticipate and to look and to love Christ's appearing. Yet, this is called by our friend a waste of time. We shouldn't imagine that we will be delivered away from our divine training ground. So, we're going to stay here forever? Clyde goes on, it will be a costly mistake. Costly, a costly mistake. Father is getting you ready for something bigger. What could be bigger than being delivered out of my divine training ground? Don't come up short in your experience for celestial service. That's an end quote there. The idea, I think, being is that if we look for and hope for Christ, even while we're going about our business and loving others, taking care of our families, we have an expectation. If we do this, according to our friend, we are going to come up short, because God had all these, he had more trials in store for us that would develop our character, bring us to perfection, but we wanted to get out of here. And so we could somehow wreck God's plans for us by hoping for the coming of Christ. Okay. This is absurd, and I need to go into details on this. And there's another strange thing that's part of this new viewpoint of Clyde's, that Paul says the era is limited. Clyde says it's limitless. I see a discrepancy there between Clyde and Paul, even though Clyde does as add the word this era. See, he thinks, before I say this, other disturbing thing. Clyde thinks that Paul's early letters are not for us. So when Paul writes 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, the era is limited, that was before his ministry started. See, our friend Clyde doesn't believe Paul's ministry to the nations started until Acts 28:28. When he's in jail, Paul's in jail, mind you, and he is an elderly man, and he is about ready to be poured out as a drink offering. And just now he starts his ministry, because the door to Israel is finally closed. In Acts 28:28, Paul is in Rome, and the Jewish leaders come to him. And Paul says, you know, he quotes the Isaiah prophecy again, hearing you don't hear, seeing you don't see, and he slams the door on Israel. But the door in Israel had been slammed a long time before that. It was just the last time it was slammed. It was a different slamming. It was a slamming now in a courtroom scene. It was official. But Paul had begun his ministry in Acts chapter 13 years and years ago. He became a minister to the nations to proclaim the grace of God. He doesn't wait until he's an old man in jail. Okay, I'm finally going to get around to telling you what I'm all about. I'm finally, at the end of my life, going to be telling you what Christ separated me for all those years ago. No, he's talking about it out of the gate in Acts chapter 13, talking about justification. His name is changed in Acts chapter 13, talks about justification for the first time, blinds a Jew on the island of Cyprus with his friend Barnabas. Name is changed. Did I mention that? Yeah, his name is changed. Okay. So, yeah, it's ridiculous to think that Paul's ministry, his specific ministry to the nations, didn't start until the end of his life. That's right. No, it's wrong. Totally wrong. This is called the Acts 28:28 position. It's based on the fact that Paul's doing some strange things to us in early part of his ministry. There's still some minimal baptism going on. There's languages and everything. But you see, the body of Christ was being brought to maturity. It was an immature body then, and it becomes a mature body. And Paul's letters, from the very first letter to the last letter, takes the body of Christ in from minority to majority, from immaturity to maturity. It's a beautiful thing. It's not a different body. We do correctly cut the word of truth, but it's a mistake to overcut the word of truth and to say that Paul's early letters are not for us. This is why Clyde and several other people who have been sucked into this think that we're not going to be snatched away. No, we are not. The snatching away is not for us. How could that be? How could he think that? Because it's in 1 Thessalonians. And according to Clyde, 1 Thessalonians is an early letter of Paul's, and it is an early letter of Paul's. But according to Clyde, it's not for us because it's an early letter. He takes that and divorces it from the rest of Paul's writings. Ooh, that's overcutting. That's incorrectly cutting the word of truth. Now, according to Mr. Pilkington, who I love dearly, as you know, he says that, quote, the focus of our era is marriage. Let me repeat this. This is a quote from Clyde's article, The Era is Limitless. It's the opposite of what Paul said. Quote, The focus of our era is marriage, parenting, and employment. All done from melodious hearts, always giving thanks for all things. Yeah, I'm all for, end quote. I'm all for the melodious hearts. I love melodious hearts. My heart is fairly melodious. But to say that domestic life is now front and center, that's a quote right before this. The focus of our era is marriage. This is exactly what was going on in the days of Noah. And it's what will be going on in our era, which was the same era Paul lived in, the era of the grace of God, which had already begun. Oh, do you want to know when Israel was cast away? It's pretty easy, folks. It's when the veil of the temple was rent in two at the death of Christ. Now the nations would have access. Now that great divider between the people and God was being removed. But of course, the church hierarchy called all the church people together on a Wednesday night, and they sewed the veil back together, and they were back in business the next day. But that was the end of Israel for the era. Of course, the word would still go forth, the kingdom would still be heralded, but it was meant then now to be rejected so that God would make way for this administration. Marriage, the focus of our era is marriage. I disagree completely. Marriage is great, having families is great, parenting, employment, we all want you employed, be working quietly with your hands, it's a great thing, but it's not the focus of our era. It's the focus of an apostate era. It's the focus of an apostate era. It was the focus of Noah's era. They were married and given in marriage, and our Lord said that today the same thing would be the same deal. Everybody would be getting married and be involved with their families, and they would miss something. So our brother is saying the opposite of what needs to be said. Marriage is noble, parenting is noble, employment is noble. Not saying it's not, but it's not the focus. The focus is really to come to a realization of the truth, to look upon Christ, and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul, if this is true, that the focus of our era is marriage, then Paul certainly blew it because he wasn't married and he didn't have a family. And how could it be that this could be the highest calling? How could this be the highest? It's a calling. It's a great calling. I wish I was still married, but I'm hearing the voice of Paul from the grave. If you've been loosed from a wife, do not seek a wife. But Clyde would say, ah, yes, but that's the old, but that's one of Paul's letters that doesn't apply to us today. That was in that era. Now, we're in a new era now from the era Paul was in when he wrote 1 Corinthians. That's not true, and I'm going to prove to you that it's not true. This may take a few days. I'm going to call this, the current era? The era is limited. I just will call it that. The era is limited. This isn't a limited era. Clyde says it's limitless. It's not. It's a window of grace that is rapidly closing. And we cannot be slothful thinking that it's a limitless era, grace is all over the place. It's going to take away a little bit of our sense of urgency. And I think we need a healthy sense of urgency, not a sense of, and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the flood took them away. The flood is going to take people away who think that the centerpiece of this era is having families, being married, having picnics, all great things. I loved having picnics with my kids. I was the picnic king, and I still would be if I was raising a family right now. I still would be, and yet you can hold loosely at the same time. And Clyde mocks this idea of holding things loosely. Paul says, let those having wives be as not having them. Let those rejoicing be as though not rejoicing. Let those mourning be as though not mourning. Clyde says, that's obsolete. Oh, if that's obsolete, then I'm supposed to rejoice like a crazy person. I'm supposed to mourn like a professional mourner. I'm now supposed to just grasp tightly to my loved ones and forget about the coming of Christ. It could be centuries away. That's what our friend is saying here. Centuries away. We're to live like it's centuries away. I wonder if that's a good idea. I say no. I'll close with this for this session. Quoting Clyde Pilkington, prophetic prognosticators are ignorant of God's current unprophesied dealings with man. They use scriptures, and he's kind of alluding to me here, because I think he considers me now a prophetic prognosticator. It's a noble title. It's great. I could just see it on a business card. But for one thing, I'm not prophetic. I'm not a prophet. I'm not inspired in the way the writers of Scripture were inspired. Prognosticator. I'm just taking Scripture and applying it. I'm reading the Bible, and I am taking it literally, and I am looking at the era we're in, and I'm saying, ooh, this is interesting. I think we're in the final years of Millennium 6 based on this and this and this and this and this of my reading. You see, you can't just read certain things and ignore other things. You have to look at the entire scripture in context. Back to the quote from Clyde Pilkington. Prophetic prognosticators are ignorant of God's current unprophesied dealings with man. They use scriptures addressed to Israel as well as Paul's earlier epistles to promote the idea of an imminent coming of Christ. As a result, their hearers, that's you, you're my hearers. I'm the prophetic prognosticator, you're my hearers. As a result, you, my poor hearers, are encouraged to adjust their lifestyles unnaturally. Well, for one thing, I've never told you. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish for you to adjust your lifestyles unnaturally. Never said that. But as a result, quote, their hearers are encouraged to adjust their lifestyles unnaturally for the impending event. Yeah, there is an impending event. And I would have you to adjust your lifestyle. I wouldn't have you go up to the mountain in a robe, as I've told you. But yes, adjust your lifestyle. Don't live. And this is the whole point of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, is telling people to adjust their lifestyle. Don't, those of you who are using the world, Paul says, and I'm going to go through all this with you, he says, don't use it up. This applies to the Revelation series big time. It really does. Those using the world are not to use it up. Is that old truth? Does that not apply to this era? So in other words, since that era, according to Clyde, passed by, now we're in an era where you're supposed to use it up. You're supposed to get into it. You know what? Could be centuries away. Just get into the world, man. Get married, buy a giant car, buy a giant house. Think about vacations, plan your retirement. Just dive in head first now because, the era was limited. But that was an early letter of Paul that we have to ignore now because Paul wrote that to Israel and to another body of Christ that's long gone. So don't even read 1 Corinthians. Why? I don't understand why you would even read it if it's not to be used to give us present truth. Listen to this. They, which meaning me, Martin Zender, basically, uses scriptures addressed to Israel as well as Paul's earlier epistles to promote the idea. Is this an idea? Did I have an idea one day that my body was going to be changed and made immortal and taken to another realm, my realm of service, where I'm inherent, where my realm is inherent among the celestials? I'm promoting an idea? I came up one day with an idea. A light bulb appeared above my head, and I said, wow, I have an idea. I have an idea. Why don't we say that we the living who remain until the coming of Christ, we the living will not precede the dead, but the dead in Christ will rise first. Thereupon, we the living, let me see. Wait a minute, this is coming. Wait. Thereupon, we the living who remain to the coming of the Lord will be snatched away together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And wait a minute. Yes, and thus we shall be always with the Lord. Somebody write that down. I need a secretary. Promoting the idea of an imminent coming of Christ. Imminent. I guess the rub there is imminent. And yet this is to be our continual expectation. Okay, I'm getting excited about this, and that's how I'm going to stay. This is important. It has to do with how we are living. We're living in rare times. Let me say this. as I close. We're living in rare times in that we are living in the administration. We're living in the final years of Millennium 6. So people freak out sometimes. And I don't want you to freak out. I don't want you to freak out either way. I don't want you to freak out and just ignore it and just live your life like those in the days of Noah, marrying and giving in marriage. You can still get married. If you plan on getting married next week, go for it. Get married. I'm just saying, I mean, Paul says those who marry will have trouble in this world. Clyde thinks that belongs to an old day. That doesn't apply today. So those who get married today won't have trouble? I was married for 25 years. It's trouble. It's great. So I would love to still be married now. But yeah, you're not undistracted for the Lord. So I guess the thing today, since that's in the past, is to be distracted. Yeah, it's what we want. We want you. This is the ideal for this era, is to be distracted. That's what we want for you. No, this is not what I want for you. I want you to take care of your families. If you have plans to get married, go ahead and do it. Paul would recommend, I think, that everyone would be like he was. And that's what he said. I wish everybody was like me. Is that only then, or does that apply now? It applies now. For some people, it's a simpler life when you're unattached, you know. I don't see how that changes. We're still in the era in which Paul wrote, as I will prove to you. I am perspiring now. I must depart for now, but I will return. Just like General Douglas MacArthur, yes, I shall return.